continued?
Yes, go ahead.
The city secretary and the mayor tell us when we're ready. And so you saw me get my marching orders. Okay, city secretary says we are ready. She is mm-hmm. ready to start. Council, we're assuming y'all are still back there somewhere. And this is Tuesday, April 28th, year of 2020 at 6:31 p.m. And I've got this stupid phone that's recording everything I'm saying. Let me turn it off. This is taking place as a teleconference. It is still a regular meeting of the Meadows Place City Council. Council scattered all over. We have visitors calling in. We have posted the 888 number and the meeting ID number in order to make comments available for the public, and we hope that they do call in. This brings us to item A, a call to order and announce a quorum present. When I looked at the pictures last, we had a full quorum or a full contention of city council, and so a quorum is in fact present. We do have a pledge of allegiance and an invocation. Kurt, I forgot to ask you ahead of time, but I had your name down there. Would you say the invocation?
Not a problem.
Okay, and I'm going to let our new city administrator lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, since that's the first item on the agenda. Get us started and let's go.
Okay, what flag are we pledging to here?
The
mayor's tie.
The mayor's got a tie that's got a Texas flag on it, so that's the best we have right now. So I'm going to pledge allegiance to the tie.
There you go.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Kurt?
Yes, sir. All right, if you would pray with me. God, we are grateful for the sunshine. We're grateful for today. God, thank you for technology that allows us to meet. God, we pray for COVID-19 to go away quickly. God, help us to get our lives back in order, get the businesses back up and running, God, safely. Lord, help us to make wise decisions. Guide us through this meeting, God, and for the rest of the week. So in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kurt. Thank you, Nick. Number one on the agenda. All right, now moving on to item B. We've got item one is police department. Chief, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, we're looking.
Thanks all very much for setting this up. And I know this is all new, but I appreciate it. And as always, I'll start out our police activity report for this month. We did have 4 accidents. None of them were reported in the roundabouts. We're keeping up with that. The number of arrests were 0. I'll discuss that later in my notes. Number of calls for service were 3,029. We had 19 reports. We issued 0 citations with 0 charges. Citation issued for city ordinance was 0. We did have 1 traffic warning with charges of 1. And warnings for our city ordinance violations, we had 5. We'll discuss that in one moment. For a total activity of 3,058. Our COD breakdown is we issued 1 warning for 2 solicitors, 2 noise complaints, and 1 traffic violation. Going on to the activity report that you see hopefully on the spreadsheet, we had 2 assaults, 3 DMVs, 1 burglary of a business, 0 residential burglaries, business checks of 676, the 5 city ordinances that I mentioned earlier. Our close patrol was at 207. Criminal mischief is 0. Fraud, we had 1. We had 159 house watches, 190 for park security. Property checks were at 1,083. We had 0 robberies. Our school checks were at 15. Our tennis court checks at 138. Total property checks at 1,792. We had 3 thefts, 0 unauthorized use of motor vehicle. And on our TLC program, which we're still operating, we had 263, with 78 fail and 341 total. I mean, excuse me, 263 pass with 78 fail with 341 total.
I know one of those that failed. Go ahead, Chief. I said I know one of those that failed, so I know that the thing is being looked at fairly.
Yes, well, we're doing a lot more of those, especially during this time, as the uptick in crime is right now is primarily business and BMVs.
Right.
Going through the notes, I leave those up for y'all every time. I'd like to go into my additional notes. If anybody has any questions about the chief's notes as far as criminal activity, if you would please contact me. But we are currently following the orders of the state, county, and the city declarations of disaster. I want to reiterate again, and I bolded it out, that the mayor and the police chief are on multiple calls throughout the week with Fort Bend EOC, DSHS, the state calls, and any other necessary calls that we have to take on. PD protocols have been put in place to protect our first responders as much as possible. And some of the measures include the, of course, personal hygiene, the PPEs, which we're having to deal with, and we're doing okay on supply right now. We do have some interruptions every once in a while, but we're working good with Harris County, who has provided us a bunch, and some of our vendors out there that are helping us out. We're reducing, or have reduced, unnecessary contact with the public, specifically related to traffic enforcement, which I want to speak about again a little bit later, and all self-initiated activity. So we are being a little bit more reactive and proactive in some cases, but we're still doing our job out there. We're still catching bad guys. What we're doing now, instead of immediate arrest, we're following up through CID to get warrants. And we are doing that very well. We have several warrants that are going to be coming in for DMVs, assaults, and so forth. Officers are required to disinfect all equipment in the vehicles, the workspaces, and areas at least 2 times per shift. We're actually doing better than that. In addition, they are required to decontaminate their duty gear at the end of each day, the beginning of each day, and of course with CDC and FEMA guidelines. Our burn rate through supplies, such as gloves and PPEs, disinfectant and sanitizers, has been okay. We've got enough supply now that we feel comfortable. As long as this doesn't continue to rise, and as long as we're at the same level, we should be okay to get through this. Again, I want to reiterate that we are staging at EMS calls and waiting outside for instructions from EMS, whether they need our assistance or not, so we won't have unnecessary contact with someone who might be exposed. We're also, as the mayor knows, sending a list all the time that there's persons under monitoring, that we share that information so we know which houses are being monitored. We also know which ones are infected. So we are being careful to make sure that we are protecting our first responders. Arrests that are necessary are being handled with, which we have not had, we're doing through warrants. We're trying to go through the guidelines and procedures that the DA's office has set forth, as well as the jail, to make sure that we reduce that contamination. If anybody saw today, the sheriff put out that they have 0 inmate COVID virus exposures or cases, and the fact that their staff is at 100% and have no exposures. And we kind of follow suit. We've had 0 cases, and that's just from the protocols we put in place to protect our first responders. All officers are required to keep the social distancing in place with public interactions, wear their face mask and protective gear as necessary. Dispatchers are asking questions as the new first responders questions come into compliance with Fort Bend County, and we're following the same protocol. So all calls for service, if there's a place that's being under monitoring, we are responding to that as they have to gear up completely.
Right.
This is, of course, not all inclusive, but we are following those. I want to reiterate, too, I mentioned I'll speak about arrests. Arrests are down, but the cases are being filed continuously with the DA's office for criminal suspects for burglary, DMVs, assaults. Warrants are being issued, and we expect, as long as everything goes the way it's going right now, that we can start serving those at the end of May. Special events, of course, have canceled due to coronavirus, so we're just monitoring that. Training, we've suspended all training until further notice until we see how things are going to work out and what the governor says about how we can gather. We also have several vendors, including Empire Managed Solutions, that's helped us garner a bunch of PPEs, so, same with Harris County, and also Chemicals and Custom Coatings out of Pearland, who's providing us with enough hand sanitizer to get by. We're creating protocol for the return to traffic enforcement as restrictions are lifted. I do want to let everybody know, though, the increased traffic control will be staged in a help to mitigate any potential exposure to our officers. We're developing a system right now and directives as I'm writing them up in the decontamination of our electronic ticket writers. Because after each contact, we're going to have to figure out a safe way to disinfect those and keep some distancing between the officers and the violator as much as possible. We are also awaiting further guidelines and orders from the governor's office before increasing any gatherings, meetings, or training that may come in place as far as law enforcement, as well as everybody else in the city, as I keep in contact with the chiefs constantly. In fact, we have a Zoom meeting that I've set up for the last 4 weeks, and we're all on there and in agreement with what we're doing. On a bright note, we did do 2 birthday police vehicle parades for kids, one on Dorrance and one on Mohawk, one for his 3-year-old and one for a 12-year-old. It was well received by the community, and they appreciated it very much. And we're anticipating the 4th of July as it comes towards us, and the direction the city will take based on COVID-19 guidelines issued by the governor's office and any changes to the venue that may be adopted by the city. And with that, I conclude my report.
Thank you, Chief. Before I turn it over to council for questions, I want to reiterate to council and to anybody that's listening how hard the chief has worked for the city, for his officers and the staff of City Meadows Place during this COVID-19 time. The chief has gone out of his way to get on calls to find out if I'm going to be able to make them, if not, to make sure that the city is represented, and has done a great job of splitting calls with me. If I'm on one with the county judge and he's on one with the county EOC, to give me a quick follow-up on what they've done. And we've had to take action on some things, and he's just been going 24/7, and I just wanted council to know that he's really stepped up, represented his department and this city very well. And Chief, we thank you very much for all that you've done. Hopefully, in the next little bit, we'll get a breather. Does anybody on council have a question for the chief?
Given the governor's order on Monday to start the opening up, has there been any thoughts, policies, or maybe just directives you're getting on kind of enforcement of this, of the phased opening, and how, you know, more specifically related to occupancy of retail and other businesses?
Well, if everyone listened to his statement and stuff about that, he kind of left it up to the jurisdictions to deal with that. We, of course, will monitor it. We haven't figured out, and I have a chief's meeting tomorrow to see what they're doing as well. He left the fines and how we can do that up to the individual jurisdictions, like pulling permits and so forth. It's my understanding of how that's supposed to happen is everybody's supposed to be in compliance, and we trust our people. But the problem is, you could have a restaurant that opens up that's says, well, 25%, we can go to 50% or whatever. And as we get those calls, we will respond, and it's going to be a suggestion to them at first. If we see it's going to be a real problem, then we'll follow those guidelines and set forth and figure out with our DA's office what charges to file.
Okay. So it sounds like we're, like, given the small footprint here in the city of Meadows, I would assume that it's, you're not anticipating it to be a big problem.
I don't at this point. I mean, we don't know what people are going to do. Cause, you know, one thing that when we start lifting restrictions, as everybody knows, you're going to have people that are just going to swarm places, and they're ready to get out.
Yeah.
And so, and I understand that completely, and so does my staff. So we're going to respond appropriately. The best thing for us to do at this time is to educate instead of regulate so much that they feel like they can't do anything. But we certainly don't want to spread this virus and have an upswing in something that we're getting a handle on. So at this point, what we're going to do is, as we get calls for service, we will check out that individual business and speak to them and educate them a little bit and try to gain compliance through verbal actions rather than criminal actions.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Chief.
Yes, sir.
All right, I can't see all the council, so if a head nod won't get it. If you're not speaking, I'm assuming you have no questions. Does anybody else have a question for the chief? All right. Well, chief, we're going to take that as a sign that that was an outstanding report, and everybody's just thrilled. So thank you very much.
Yes, sir. I'm going to mute myself now.
I appreciate it a lot. Thank you much. All right, that brings up item number two in reports, which is Public Works. Eric Chance, our Public Works Director, is ready to give his report. Are you, Eric?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Evening, Mayor, Council. During the month of February, hired a new employee, Jacob Finley, started with us at the end of February, and he's being trained right now in all the facets what we do out in the field and public works. So he's a little bit, a couple days shy of being on board 2 months. Also in the month of February, the majority of all the sidewalk repairs were performed out of the 50 locations. There was, I think y'all know there's 25 west of the bayou there and then 25 east of the bayou, quite a bit. Also, during the month of February, the automatic meter read gateway was relocated from the existing Majors outfield light fixture, and we moved it over, excuse me, towards home plate, and kind of logistical efforts in conjunction with the construction going on there with Meadows Elementary School, and that worked out well. Everything's working fine. And then also at the end of February, we approximately did around $12,000 or 1,111 square feet of street repairs under the road use fees during the month of February. Moving on to March, there was a company by the name of Alpha Laval who has worked with us in the past as far as the reclaimed filter system. They've come out and put in three sets of filters up there at the sewage treatment plant, and they reinforced a lot of the framework. So we're in good shape going into the warmer months and all the reclaimed water filtration system leading out to the lake and other areas. The majority of the fire hydrants were repainted by a vendor out of Baytown, Texas, Texas Hydrant Services. They did a really good job, in my opinion. They were all blasted. We have a total of 154 hydrants system-wide, and so those were all blasted and repainted during the month of March. We had a couple of major repairs at the sewage treatment plant concerning the both traveling bridges. The metal wheels that were underneath the tracking or the bridges themselves had to be refabricated and reworked, some other work to get those in good condition. But we're in good shape now, and so this should be a repair that is looked at in the long term. Also in the month of March.
Hey, Eric?
Yes, sir.
Have you given those figures to Anna Maria?
The traveling group?
Yes, because those are fairly extensive, and those need to go into capital improvements. So be sure and get with Nick and Anna Maria to make sure that get listed under a capital improvement, because those are going to be long term.
Sure. Will do. Moving on, something minor. We fixed a mop sink there in the PD for the chief. One of the major things that not so much public works staff did, but public works staff worked in conjunction with a vendor and getting both the fire suppression meter vaults and also the main line, which will feed Meadows Elementary, installed. That whole entire system from the point of supply, from our main line there on Brighton up to those meter vaults have all been inspected. I know the fire marshal has been involved in some of this, so that was one of the major things that occurred during the month of March. then we did a total of about $23,000, 1,900 square feet of roadway repairs during the month of March. And then the remaining identified sidewalks were completely done during that month as well. Mosquito spraying resumed in March. They're currently spraying just one night a week.
I'm getting eaten up.
Typically on Thursdays, and you know, weather permitting, that may either move up two, 3 days. But so that commenced the month of March, middle of March, and then it'll go through November, around November 15th. Moving on to the month of April, we are actually not going to do any road repairs. I got with the mayor, we kind of reassessed the budget last month, and so we're, due to the high amount of expenditures that the line item, I guess, incurred early on, so we're going to basically hold off for a couple of months and then hit it up again in June to be on target. Another thing that Public Works did, we had basically just cleaned up our shop, rearranged some things, threw away some items. It was in dire need, so now we can find some decent things that we need, tools and so forth. So that was done. It was well overdue, but it looks pretty good. Also going on this month, there's about 8 curvant storm sewer inlet tops that are being repaired in various sections of the city. This was the remaining monies left over from the bond money that is being utilized for this purpose. And so this will be a good addition to some of the infrastructure improvements occurring out there on the streets. And then at the also during April, the completion of all the fire hydrants were 100%. So that's pretty much my report. If anybody has any specific questions,
Did y'all get blower 4 done?
Oh yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, blower number 4 apparently had some issues with the turbines, the fins inside the housing unit itself. And so those had to be ordered out of France, came in. The blower motor was actually repaired and installed yesterday by 1 p.m. and is fully operational. So it took a little time, but it's back to where it needs to be.
Did you get any pictures of that?
Yes, sir, I did, Mayor. I had sent a couple of pictures of the repair to Tom. Yes, sir.
Did you send him any other pictures?
Yes, I sent him the some of the pictures or a couple of pictures of the storm sewer inlet repairs that are going on with Joe. I sent him a couple of those as well.
All right, Council, let me tell you why I'm asking that. This is part of an ongoing process that we have in the city to get information out to the public about what our Public Works Department is doing. Because those guys are always out there doing a lot of things, but most of us don't know anything about it. So about every 3 weeks or so, Eric is sending pictures to Tom Erickson with Erickson Advertising. And he's going to put a little blurb in the Facebook page just about some of the important repairs that are going on within the city to show the expenditures, the wisdom of the expenditures, and some of the progress that Public Works is doing. Because they're doing a lot of things out there. The public just doesn't know it. And these are just some of the things that we chose this week, right, Eric?
Yes, that is correct, Mayor. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does Council have any questions for Eric?
Yes, I do, Eric. It's John. Is there any way you can shoot me the copy of those pictures? I'd like to see those, too. I'm not on Facebook, so.
Sure. I would be more than glad to send them to you, John.
Sure. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Eric?
Yes, sir.
What I'd like for you to do would be to shoot that to all the Council people.
Okay, will do.
Let everybody take a peek at it. Thank you.
Sure.
Nick, you got any questions of Eric?
No, sir. No, sir.
All right. Any other questions?
This is Rick. I've got a question more for the mayor and Nick. I wasn't aware there was any funds available left in those bonds. We need to check if we've got anything left and get it burned off. With us paying the bonds off, that may throw us into arbitrage.
Nope, we're okay.
Okay.
Rick, matter of fact, the figures may pop up here tonight. That's what I've been worried about and burning it down. Okay. Thank you for checking. Anybody else? Okay, well, with that, we will conclude the report by Public Works. Eric, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Well, yes, sir. You're welcome.
All right. That brings up Fire Department Monthly Report for whatever period this covers. Typically, it's March or the month. We had 37 total calls, fire-related and EMS response. Of the 37, 19 were EMS calls. 3 were fire carbon monoxide. 12 were good intent. I find that interesting that people were home, and we shot up from 1 or 2 good intent to 12. And then all other fire-related are 2. Typical breakdown is we had 16 during the week during the day, 7 weekend day, 10 weeknight, 4 weekend night. We had some fire marshal activity at the kid zone for a total 1 inspection. Now, the fire marshal did come over here and spent quite a bit of time with us on some of our projects, including gave us some information on Billy Burge's corner across the street at Ayrshire. And we are working with him right now, expecting some plans to come in on that he'll be running through. But we made him aware of it and have had that discussion. And with that concludes fire report, unless anybody has anything to fire reports. I knew this was going to be a long meeting, but next month I'm going to try to get Chief DiCamillo in when we're all sitting in the room together. With that, I'm moving on. I'm moving on to mayor and council comments.
City administrator's report.
I'm sorry. I had all kind of good notes to ask him and just jumped right past it. I was in a hurry. Go ahead, Nick, city administrator's first report. So, hey, let's welcome our brand new city administrator to his first city council meeting. Everybody go shake it. Oh, we can't. Welcome aboard, Nick. Go.
Thank you, Mayor. When I envisioned my first city council meeting in Meadows Place, I want you to know this is exactly how I thought it was going to go.
Can't hear you.
You can't hear him?
Can you hear me?
Oh!
Oh, hello. Am I here? Am I there? What happened?
Yeah, we're having a really difficult time hearing Nick.
Are you, are we?
You're. It's going through here.
Is it going through there or is it going through there?
It's going through here.
Okay, let me.
We can hear you perfectly, Courtney.
Okay, I'm going to turn my computer towards Nick and see if you can hear him better.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, so here we are. This is all kinds of awkward for me, but here we are. So I guess first and foremost, briefly, just wanted to let you all know how much of a privilege it is to be here. I have been drinking from the fire hose, so to speak, for the last few weeks, but it's been good. I've had a chance to meet a lot of staff, visit with a lot of staff, spend a lot of time with the mayor, and have now had the opportunity to visit with all of you at council, and I appreciate that and thank you for that. In this, really, my first report, I really wanted to focus on what Anna Maria and I have been looking at over the last couple of weeks and kind of kicking around, and that is what I sent y'all earlier today, which is the revenue and expense projections that we have are taking a stab at. Obviously, there's a big asterisk on these numbers because, quite frankly, you're trying to predict sales tax revenue and how much money people are going to spend and that kind of thing. And it's a moving target, but I think the numbers that we've come up with are good. I think they're conservative numbers. And I know I emailed them to you. Have all of you had a chance to take a look at that sheet?
Yes, I have.
I'd like to kind of double click on it a little bit, but I'm not going to go line by line. But just as sort of an overall look, I think, if we could put it on the screen.
Rick, can you put that up on the screen for a few minutes?
Oh, there we go.
Well, he's going to.
Technology.
Yeah.
Rick's got Rick's running that show.
Rick's running our shared screen right now.
He's commandeered your council meeting.
Hey. There we go.
So essentially what you're looking at is, and Anna Maria did a very good job of this. Essentially what it is it's an estimation on the revenue shortfall we see ourselves coming up against for the balance of the fiscal year, stacked up against any savings and expenditures that we might see as well. It's a lot of unknowns right now. As you know from the governor's conference call yesterday, he acknowledged that summer day camps, for example, are very important. But he gave no direction on when those were going to resume. So there's a lot of unknowns on when we're going to be able to resume some of these activities. And obviously on the expenditure side, those have impacts. But if you look at the property taxes, essentially, and I'll go over a few highlights, but if you look at the property taxes there, we're assuming that we're going to collect roughly 90% of the $107,000 or so left. That's a little less than you predict that you collect in a normal year. You look at sales tax, which for most cities is a huge driver right now, and a lot of cities are gearing up for a gigantic sales tax loss. Here we're assuming a conservative estimate of about a 40% loss for the balance of the year. You're tracking right now, right on track with last year on your sales tax. If you were to look at this year to date versus last year to date, you'll see that they're almost identical. And so really what we're looking at is what's going to happen over the next 5 months. So there's a loss there of possibly about $62,000 or so. If you go down, there's a few more possible losses. But when you go down to fines and forfeitures for the city of Meadows Place, that's really where you see probably the largest hit that we could possibly take. While we estimate, or we had in your budget, about $210,000 for the balance of the year, we're estimating a collection of maybe $100,000 of that. So you're looking at about a $110,000 loss for the balance of the year. And the way that Anne-Maria and I kind of looked at this is we kind of did an average month, a floating average monthly look at it. And, you know, you already heard the police chief's report that we issued exactly zero citations in the month of April. And so, you know, it's going to be a hit. So you look at a few other things. I mean, she even took into account the possible loss in interest over the next few months. We don't know what the interest rates are going to do, but we tried to be as comprehensive as we could. You look on the revenue, on the expenditure side down below, you'll see that, you know, there are some savings. So, for example, my position was budgeted for a full year. I didn't come until April. On the PD side, we have, Chief, I think it's one position that's open right now that's not being filled. And we have a couple of other savings as well. So when you really stack those two up, what we're really looking at is the possibility of an impact, a shortfall of about $17,800 come September 30th. We don't know if that number, I mean, we know it's either going to be higher than that or lower than that, but that's the estimate that that we've come up with. I think if you stack Meadows Place up against some of our neighboring communities, I'll just say that I am very pleased to be in Meadows Place right now. So with that, if you have any questions, that's our best stab at it. And obviously, as we move through throughout the year, these numbers are going to be updated. As you know, sales tax runs about 2 months behind. So in other words, you know, March's collections reflect January sales. So we're really not going to see this COVID impact, I think, until we go ahead and get May's sales. It'll reflect March's what happened in March. What we notice is that February's was fine. February's was right on track with February of last year. So we'll see what happens in the next 2 months. But with that, that's what we've been doing. And I, for one, like I said, I'm...
Hey, Nick?
Yes, sir.
Can I ask a few questions?
Sure.
I guess the first question is, are there any... Is this what you consider best case, worst case, or kind of the best forecast?
Well, I don't think this is the best forecast. I think these numbers are, in talking with Anna Maria, these numbers are, I think they represent one of the hardest hits we could take. If you look at the sales tax loss, we're talking about 40%. I think we'll probably beat that. I think that we were...
You're really leaning towards a worst case scenario here.
I think this.
I'm not going to put words.
No, I think this is on the worst case scenario side of it. I think if you were to stack it up, it'd be on the worst case side as opposed to the optimistic side.
That's good.
And also too, you got to keep in mind that as we continue through the budget year, we've got 5 months as a staff to manage our budgets. We obviously want council's expectation of what you want us to do, but we have a few options here. You know, if you look at this. Staff can go ahead and be conservative on our budgets through the balance of the year. We can find $17,000, for example. Or we can go full bore, not reduce our service levels, continue on the way we've been continuing on, and then in September we'll know what our shortfall is and we'll have some options there too. Meadows Place is having a much different conversation, I can tell you, than some of the other communities around us, and that's a good thing. But I think these numbers are erring on the side of being a little more conservative, a little more worst case than optimistic.
That's great. Now, when we did the budget, I can't remember. We actually budgeted a deficit for this year. Is that correct? And do you remember how much we budgeted for this year?
I don't remember. That I don't know. And I didn't realize you would have budgeted a deficit. Is that the...
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a significant deficit, Nick. I mean, on average, we would try to get as close to a balanced budget, and we historically... negative deficit this year to eat a little bit into those reserves. Not much.
Yeah, we'll have to take a look at that. I mean, you can...
Hey, Steve, I'm looking at it. We budgeted about a $119,000 deficit, but our expenditures right now, well, I guess it's probably about 50%, so we're about on track. And then we've taken in $4 million of our $5.3 budgeted for income.
Yeah. Yeah, if you look at, so for example, and we looked at that track, and so for example, if you look at license and permit revenue, you know, you budgeted $75,000 for the year. We've already collected $70,000, and we're about 60% through the year, so you're going to bust that budget. You know, you'll always hear me say a budget is a plan, not an audit, and so we always sort of look at these numbers throughout the course of the year and adjust when necessary. I didn't know about the deficit budgeting. Go ahead.
And that was intentional. Like I said, the reserves are creeping up there significantly. And like mine, you know, I'm just one guy on council, but I'm kind of the opinion right now, based on this is worst case scenario. We had a deficit that we had intentionally put in. We can always pull that back at, you know, September, and when we put out the 2021 budget. But my suggestion, guys, is to let it ride. Not do anything.
Yeah, we got to be careful about, I hear what you're saying. And I think that's probably the way staff feels about it too. We don't want to poll council or take any kind of unanimous, you know, consensus of you guys during a report, but that's good feedback to get. That's very good feedback to get, because we as a staff obviously are looking for direction too, in managing our budgets for the next 5 months. Meadows Place is just a very unique position. You know, we're not as sales tax as dependent as a Stafford or a Sugar Land or a Chemo where I came from. And the time like this, it helps us manage a little bit better.
And I'm sure if we really pressed hard, you know, I don't think we would see a significant decrease. Well, just one view again, a significant decrease in services over 17K. Especially, I think it's just from the sound of it, it sounds like this is worst case scenario, and you just got to keep an eye on it.
Well, if you guys go ahead and keep spending money at Sam's, I think we'll be just fine. But that's the report we came up with, and I think it's a good look. Really, more than anything, it was an exercise for us to just keep track of this, kind of see where we are. So with that, that's my first report.
Does that conclude your report?
Yes, sir. That's my first report.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Oh, he just took that report down. Oh,
okay. Can everybody still hear me? Nick, I want to say thank you very much. I want to say that Nick and Anna Maria have run these numbers back up and down, back and forth. There's been a lot of really good discussion. I think it's safe to say that this wasn't a downtime for Nick, but it was a great opportunity for him to get into the nuts and bolts of the city through the numbers that he's dealing with and interacting with the staff. Steve, I feel the same way as you do on this. As far as moving ahead, I don't think, as long as we keep monitoring everything and we're not getting caught short on anything, if we need to make an adjustment, we can. But that's it. All right. Anybody got anything else for Nick?
Hey, Charlie, I'm going to try to share the agenda again. Let me know if I get the right screen up. Hold on.
Okay, I see Kurt scratching his head. John over there saying, hey, look at me, I look great. Ah, now we got it. Okay.
I don't know.
You did a good job. Steve even sat back down. That's done then.
Thank you, Council.
Guys, y'all just heard the very first report from our new city administrator. It was a lot meatier than I thought it was going to be, and I'm glad he's here to do it. I'm going to go on to mayor and council comments now. This is probably the most significant group of mayor's comments I've ever had. I'm taking them pretty seriously. I hope y'all do, and I hope anybody listening in does too. I'm going to talk, item A is COVID-19. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm on all kind of calls, mayor's calls, county's calls, state's calls, and I'm proud of Meadows Place. Meadows Place was nimble. We were quick to respond to the COVID-caused changes in our world, and we're going to be quick to embrace recovery, but it's got to be safe recovery. Meadows Place city operations are being brought back online. Our parks and playgrounds are being reopened per the state guidelines. The Garden Club, baseball, Meadows Marlins swim team, the active adults, and our wonderful summer camp programs are all being evaluated as to how to be brought back. These changes will be participation and demand driven, but they're going to be centered around the safety of the participants and the public. I think we're doing a good job and we'll continue to do that. I've got to say this, I'm not a big fan of this guy, but the governor has given us some clear guidelines of what we can do on May 1st and a target date of what he expects and to expand it to on May 18th. I thank him for his leadership on this. I thought he did a great job, was very clear and concise. That said, I want to say thank you to Chief Stewart. I want to thank Courtney. I want to thank our staff and city administrator for a job well done here in Meadows Place. I think it was extraordinary. Guys, I've been here every day, and I'm just so impressed to see everyone do their best to make the city function in this time of turmoil. Also, Council, I want to publicly say thank you to our outstanding City Council for its guidance. Having y'all look over things and is very important. Meadows Place has a plan to come alive and shine like the star we are, and we will remain on alternating shifts until Friday, just so y'all know, when staff will gather together again for the first time in over a month. I think they're looking forward to it. We will practice safe distancing and cleaning protocols, and we'll open up to the public on Monday the 4th after a day to get ready. Thanks again to the staff for all their hard work, to the residents, if anyone is listening, for their patience and counsel, for your leadership. Please bear with us as we ramp back up and try to find out now what normal is so we can keep Meadows Place your place for life. We're not out of this yet, so let's not get careless. But thank everybody for being a part of this. I want to talk next about census. Census 2020 is important to Meadows Place. You're getting ready to see us launch a month-long exercise to get people to sign up. If we hit 5,000 population, it means Meadows Place can vote on whether or not we want to go home rule or do we want to stay a general law city. The big difference is home rule cities do what they want to do, and general law cities do what the state tells them to do. Additionally, home rule cities can reduce the legislative interference in city affairs, and we get to make our own rules, like terms of elected officials, things like that. The latest figures I have found, and I spent quite a bit of time on census last week, Meadows Place is at 68.5% response. Though higher than the county at 60.4%, this is simply not going to get us to the 5,000 people it takes to be able to vote on whether or not Meadows Place can become a home rule city. We need to be around the 90% mark. I urge you to talk to everybody you know to get us up to that. A low census turnout doesn't help the city, the county, or the state of Texas. Right now, Texas is sitting at 57.3%. Now, the paper copies of the census forms should just now be reaching everyone's house that did not complete the online forms. There is some COVID-19 delay, however, but this means we should see a big bump across the state, and I'm hoping to see a bump in Meadows Place numbers as well. If you've not completed your census form, please do so immediately and urge everybody to do that. I'm going to ask anybody that doesn't have a census ID or they have not received the paper form, or if you just need a little bit of help check out the census section on our website or call the census number, 844-330-2020, and ask your neighbor if they filled out the form yet. Thank you. Any questions on census? All right, moving on to elections. I feel like I need to say this since a couple of things have come up. There seems to be some confusion out there as to how the election will be handled, whether or not any changes on the ballot can be made. We were just discussing that earlier with the problems at another city. The answer to the last part is no. Whoever's on the ballot for May 2nd will be on the ballot for November, period. In our case, we have one seat opening up, that of Steve Besner. And for place two, Steve has plans to remain on council until the election in November, simplifying things greatly. And so I thank him for that. The other positions are the position of mayor, which is being run unopposed. Thank you. Alderman place one, John Isbell, unopposed. Alderman place three, Rick Stegley, unopposed. And that's how the election will come. On November 4th.
November 3rd.
3rd. I hope that answers any questions. If not, call Courtney Rutherford, our city secretary, who's in charge of elections and the election process here in Meadows Place. Thank you. Y'all have any questions on the elections? Remember, no changes. Okay? Next, I want to talk about changes at City Hall and our city administrator. That's one change. Nick's been getting tired of me telling him we never had any of this stuff before he hired on. We didn't have any COVID-19. We had plenty of offices. Now we got COVID-19 and we're short. If you haven't been to City Hall, I urge you to do so. It's a mess. We got stuff stacked everywhere. And it couldn't have come really at a better time. They'll be 90% wrapped up before the end of this week. We've got offices being changed, moved around. We had to find Nick an office that he would claim to his own because he was swapping desks, and I got tired of him sitting in here. So we're getting it. We think we've got a square, and it shouldn't interfere with anything when we have the study, whatever that study
facilities
is.
Facilities review.
Facilities report. But we do have a lot going on. As far as the city administrator, he hadn't been here long enough for me to feel completely confident in whether he's not going to do a good job or not. But I will tell you this, I am a lot more comfortable than I was when we first hired him on. I think he's going to be a great fit for us. And those that were part of the hiring process and the interviewing process know that that was so important to everybody that was looking to hire a city administrator, was that they would come in and fit with council, with staff, and the public. And I will tell you that I think so far he would grade out well, as they say in football. Okay, and that ends my comments. Moving on to council comments. And I want to remind council that this is on the agenda every month. So if you have something you want to talk about, just get with Courtney, let her know, send her an email, or you call her up a couple days ahead of time, and she'll put something on there for you to make comments on. So please, don't forget that. One of the things that we want to make sure we get covered today is something about the audio-visual portion, which we'll find a place to talk about. And we also want to, Rick, I'm going to ask you to set us up a little bit items 5A, and as you go through this part of the Kirkwood construction update, it's on yours.
Yeah, we finally have some progress to report on Kirkwood. Center Point was out there last week, started to do their bores, and they're finishing up this week, actually wiring up to the base of the poles. They're still telling us the poles won't be in here until the end of May, but we'll have to see what actually happens. And then we were able to negotiate the remobilization fee with the contractor to get them back. They plan to start May 11th, clean up the area, get the topsoil in, work on the irrigation, and then the plants will go in. Other than that, it's just been slow going, trying to work through all these processes. While the change order for Marcon, the contractor, we were able to zero it out with some items that were not used on the project. The net impact from the delay from Centerpoint is about $140,000. We would have been able to save that money, but now we just won't be able to. And there's really no way to go after Centerpoint for that money. Other than that, I'm open to questions until we get to the agenda items, if anybody's got specific questions.
Yes, Rick, I do. This is John. I just, some people have mentioned to me, and I've seen it driving through the roundabouts. Like, let's say you're going north on Kirkwood and you turn left on a Dorrance. That little tapered part that feeds you into Dorrance, how far can people park from the end of that against the curb? Because it seems like they're really tight in some places coming around. There's not a whole lot of room between some bumper and that little curb. You follow what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you know, because I actually saw it too. There was one day that I saw that the resident had parked pretty tight. As long as they give a full lane width of 11 feet, they're probably okay. We may need to evaluate if it does continue to be a problem, whether we want to paint the curb yellow and maybe put up some no parking signs. I'd try not to put up any more signs out there.
I agree with that.
I would say we just watch it. It's a little bit of an inconvenience, and people got to watch what they're doing, but that does help slow the traffic down. But if we think it's actually a crash potential, then we probably need to put some no parking areas in.
Good. Thanks.
I think it's an education issue. I just called the PD to have them go talk to them. I think over time this will fix itself. Because I have the same problem.
Well, you two drive big trucks, too.
I don't, and I've seen it as well. I recognize that, and so 11th, Marcon's going to come out.
That's correct.
And the polls aren't going to come in until like the 29th of May or something like that.
Right.
But if they're finishing the boring, and I want to say right now, and I sent council a little ditty on this. We were at a standstill out here, and it was he said, she said, I'm not doing it. You paid for it. No. And Rick came waltzing into City Hall and said, well, I've been out there. We need to make a call. So we flipped up and we called two levels up above this, got a hold of a fellow, Rick, I forget his name, I'm sorry, was Centerpoint. We had a quick conversation. Everything was done. The call was made out to Marcon or the Centerpoint guys. And they started boring before I could even get out there and see it. So again, Rick, I want to thank you personally for getting involved and having such an impact on this project. And as far as, I guess that's it for me. Anybody else for Rick? All right, moving on. We're actually going to start this meeting. The regular agenda is where the business of City of Meadows Place takes place. And this is what we're doing right now. We're moving on to item one, which is discussion and acceptance of the quarterly investment report. We get this once a quarter, and you'll see the figures reflected in there. And basically, we're not changing anything. We just need to accept it officially. Do I have a motion to accept the quarterly investment report?
So moved.
Motion by John. Second. Did I have a second?
Second.
By
is that
Kurt?
Kurt?
Kurt.
All right. Any discussion on this? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Do we need to ask the public? No, not on this one. Okay, that sounds unanimous to me, so motion carried unanimously. Thank you very much. See, we're not getting rich off the interest right now. However, we did make some good changes in our prime. Moving on to item two, discussion and consideration of resolution 2020-18 designating the city administrator as a check signer for city accounts at Independent Bank and designate primary check signers. Folks, I need a motion to make Nick a check signer.
So moved.
Moved. Second.
Motion by somebody in the second. You need to tell us your name.
I got John on the motion, John. Steve on the second.
Got John and Steve. Any discussion?
Well, we need to designate the primary check signers. That needs to be part of this motion.
The primary check signers are?
Who do we want to designate? Currently, the primary check signers are the mayor and city secretary. So there was discussion of, do you want to make it the mayor and city administrator? Do you want to make it the city administrator and city secretary? Who does council want to designate as the primary check signers?
Could it be mayor or city administrator?
Well, I think your city administrator is your treasurer, so I think he definitely should be signing the checks. So either mayor, city administrator, or city administrator, city secretary.
We could have both.
Yes, but I think you got to have two people sit down and sign the check.
All checks require two signatures.
I'm going to recommend at this time, council, that you leave mayor and on and put Nick as the two primaries. Mm-hmm. It'll give me an opportunity to sit down with him and sign checks and get a little historical data on what's there, what's here. Then at some point in time, we could make a change in the future. But that also leaves the city secretary as a check signer so that nobody has to come running up here at 11:30 and sign the checks. So the motion is to make him make Nick a check signer, and the current primary check signers are now mayor and city secretary.
Mayor and city administrator. With the city secretary as an alternate.
It would be mayor,
city administrator,
with the city secretary as an alternate.
And we do still currently have Alderman Stegley and Isbell as alternate signers as well.
Who's making that motion?
The motion was made by Alderman Isbell. It was seconded by Besner.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. So we are done with item two. Item three would be discussion consideration of ordinance 2020-13, amending ordinance 2020-06, removing municipal courts from the city administrator's direct management and oversight, and assigning municipal courts to the city secretary. Council, this is an item for discussion when we passed 2020-06, but after talking to the city administrator, the city secretary, several other cities, it's our recommendation that it be changed, and the city secretary will be responsible for the court system.
I'm just curious, why was that amended?
I think I can answer that. So there were a couple of trains of thought on this. First thing is, and I actually approached Courtney about this, you know, that function has been with the city secretary, obviously, for some time. I will say that it's not uncommon in a city for a city secretary to oversee the municipal court function. It also provides a little bit of a separation in your organization between those that write the tickets and those that help to adjudicate the tickets. It's not a bad thing to have a little bit of a separation between those two functions. And if you look at, when we look at the next item, you can kind of see that. So it's something Courtney and I talked about. It's something we talked with the mayor about. I think organizationally, it's probably a good move to keep it right where it is. And I certainly have absolutely no heartburn over that. So.
Good deal. Thank you for the explanation on that.
All right. So
this is Rick. So moved.
Motion by Rick.
Second.
Second by John. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Are we asking the public?
Well, we need to be, I guess we need to be asking them before we go. I mean, we do have on the agenda that they could have emailed in early if they wanted to speak.
So that's, hearing none, that motion carries unanimously. Moving on to item four. Discussion and consideration of resolution 2020-19, adopting a new organizational chart of city council and staff. Council, this is simply a revision of the existing org chart with to reflect the changes that we just voted on. Do I hear a motion to adopt the new org chart?
We got Besner with a motion.
Steve Besner moves.
Okay, Steve?
Kelly second.
Kelly second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item five, discussion and consideration of resolution 2020-20, approving change order number two, providing, is that correct? Change order number two?
Yes.
Yeah. Providing for remobilization of Marcon services and an additional 120 calendar days for the Kirkwood reconstruction project. Council, we've heard some of the things on this. Rick, the 120 days, I heard part of that discussion. I'd like for you to explain that a little bit to us.
Sure, the contract actually ended on January 2nd. And they were done with what they could do pretty much at that point in time.
Right.
So basically the clock stopped at that point when they demobilized, and it's going to restart on May 11th. And, you know, we've got about 2.5-3 months worth of landscaping to do, throw in some weather days. We decided to come in with 120 calendar days to finish the project. Hopefully they can get it done faster than that, but it's going to be a little bit of weather dependency.
So basically we're saying we're not crunching them for every day and allowing for a little weather, but we're hoping and expecting them to come in a little shorter, but we're allowing them just in case. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So heard that explanation.
So I will move for approval, and then if there's additional questions once we get a second.
Got it. So we have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, that looks like Steve. We have a second. Any further discussion? Okay, without hearing discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Hearing, any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Rick. I was part of that discussion, and man, you guys know what you're doing. I was pretty impressed. Discussion and consideration, item six, of resolution 2020-21, approving the contract amendment number three with HDR Engineering to review the fees related to construction management and inspection services for Kirkwood Road reconstruction project, not to exceed $43,200. Rick, I'm going to ask you to explain that 43,200.
Right. So HDR is doing the inspection for us. They burned all their money watching the road work. And so we need to provide them some additional funds to come back and watch for the irrigation, planting, everything else that's involved with finishing up the project. So once again, I'll make the motion.
Okay. And this is strictly for management and inspection services.
Right. Correct.
I have a motion by Rick.
Second by Kurt.
Second by Kurt. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Let me flip over here. And that's 2021. Okay, this is item number 7, discussion and consideration of ordinance 2020-14, amending the general fund budget for the fiscal year October 1, 2019 and ending September 30, 2020 in the amount not to exceed $43,200 to line item 100-070-584030, Kirkwood Major Repairs for Construction Management Inspection Services for the Kirkwood Reconstruction Project. Basically, this is a line item amending the budget for the line item y'all just approved the expenditure on.
This is Rick. I'll move to approve.
Second.
Second by John. Motion by Rick. Any further discussion?
Just a reminder, Council, even though we're budgeting this out of general fund, it will eventually get paid back from the EDC.
Yay, EDC. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, that motion is done. Unanimously. Okay, this is item number 8, discussion and consideration of resolution number 20-22, extending the declaration of a local disaster in response to COVID-19.
How long are we going to extend?
That's the discussion.
Another month?
Or we can extend it 2 more days. The state has laid out a change in their declaration expires on April 30th, 11:59 on April 30th.
Well, Charlie, I'm going to move to approve with a new date of May 26th, our next regular council meeting, because this also impacts our ability to retrieve funds from the feds.
Mm-hmm. Have we had any guidance on being able to, or I guess first of all, have we had any extenuating expenses as a result of this?
Yes, we have.
Yes, and so...
Oh, yeah? $30,000 for laptops?
Well, there's a few considerations on the cost side, and we've talked a little bit about it. You know, I talked in my report a little earlier about that projection, that projected revenue loss. One of the things that we took into account when we did that was the hazard pay for essential employees here at City Hall. So this is, we're getting into about the sixth week where we're going ahead and paying an extra 20 hours of pay every pay period for those essential employees. Extending that disaster declaration would be a budget impact simply from that perspective alone. So that's a consideration we got to think about as well.
So you're saying by extending it, then we automatically are required to pay hazard pay?
I believe we modified the...
Unless that original declaration is modified, then yes, sir. I mean, from what I understand, that declaration does include that provision for hazard pay for those essential employees.
Well, it's the personnel policy.
Okay.
It's personnel policy we passed that states when we're under a declaration of local disaster for public health and safety, non-essential staff is working the alternating schedules and essential staff are receiving hazardous pay. So that is a question. If we extend through May 26th,
that's another month.
Are we going to continue having staff on alternate schedules or and pay hazardous pay, or are we just going to put everybody back on regular schedules?
I've talked with the chief. He's expecting this to come off, the hazard pay, to go away at 11:59 on April 30th. I'm expecting staff to show up at 8 o'clock on Friday, May 1st, ready to go back to work.
I would suggest if council wants staff to go back on regular schedules and eliminate the hazardous pay, that we just have that in the motion, that you're going to declare the declaration to go through whichever date council decides. But at the same time, you are authorizing staff back to full capacity and eliminating the hazardous pay.
Well, I don't think we should do that. The I mean, the governor's already given direction on office work, on people returning, and it, part of that includes social distancing, and you know, unless it's actually absolutely critical. I mean, like, two things. One, I think we're a little premature to say people show back up to work here in a week, and like going back to work is something we really haven't talked about, and that's actually going to be more difficult, in my view, than it was to send everyone home. To send everyone home, you just say, go home. You know, we'll get your equipment. Coming back, we got to think about a process to bring people back in, kind of like, you know, a gradual program, half of the staff, whatever we decide. But I think that it's going to take a little more thinking around this than say everyone show up on a Friday.
How many people we've kicked this around quite a bit. The staff has. We've got.
Mayor, I can't hear you, man. Can you step up?
That's because I'm talking to the screen. Sorry, Steve. I was turned the wrong direction. I was looking at you, not listening to you. Steve, we've talked about it quite a bit.
Mayor, you are completely gone.
How did we
think we need to invest in a webcam for the mayor.
Yeah, and a microphone.
They come with a webcam.
I had it.
Try it again.
Can you hear him now?
Can you hear me
you
now?
Good.
Hear you good.
But you cannot hear the mayor?
Nope. And that's an unusual occurrence.
Down this way a little bit, I guess.
All right, we're about to violate social distancing, and he's going to come near the computer.
Right, he's going to move a little closer.
Here we go.
All right, your fault, Steve. Can you hear me now?
Barely.
I don't know. I don't know where the speaker is.
Can you hear him now?
That's better right there.
Okay. We've talked about it in-house quite a bit. We've talked about it with staff. We've gotten their opinions. We've thought about it, Steve. And with the advent of the governor's order, number 18 or whatever it was, 19, which opens up businesses and offices back to semi-normal with some restrictions, we still plan on working with COVID-19 protocols in place. Our windows will be shut. We'll have washing and hand sanitizer stations and all that type of thing in-house. I don't know when the right time to pull the trigger is on getting people back. But we are, we're having a very, very high degree of frustration in our staff because they can't, quote, get their job done. And so I understand your position and I'm listening. What has anybody else got to say?
Well, how close together are people in the office? When everyone's sitting at their desk, are they over 6 feet apart? As I think so, but you tell me.
I mean, yeah, I think for the most part, we're at least 6 feet apart.
Who is? Nobody. Nobody's closer than 6 feet.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's 6 feet apart, and we've been...
I think if everyone keeps their distance and just follows some basic rules like we do in grocery stores and Home Depots and just kind of stay away from each other, I think that's a possible thing.
Well, are you going to open it up to the public to come in?
Well, that's a good question because there are a few decision points here that we got to think about. Of course, number one is, do we go back to full staff?
Does anyone else have a problem hearing the mayor?
This is Nick talking.
It's Nick. I hope I don't sound too much like the mayor.
you sound great.
So there's a few decision points you got to think about when we talk about this declaration. Obviously, number one is, do we go back to full staff? And if so, when? Number two, what do we do with the hazard pay for those essential employees? Number three, when do we open City Hall back up, that is the lobby, and allow people to come up to the window? Those are all things that we don't have to do at the same time. And quite frankly, the disaster declaration can be extended separate and apart from those other decisions, but it's really a council decision on all of those things. I think that you're right. I mean, extending the disaster declaration is one step closer to making sure that we get reimbursed for things like the hazard pay and other things we might spend money on. But those other decisions like when do we open City Hall, that's why this item's on the agenda so we can talk about these kinds of things.
view is like I don't think we're ready to make those decisions. I mean, this thing is moving fast, you know, continues to move fast. And like extending the only downside I see to extending the disaster recovery is the hazard pay, but we're also part of that is the environment that our staff is in and how what they're working under. And so like what we may want to do is simply extend the declaration for a couple of weeks and then try to get a little bit of a plan together on how we want to go back to work. How do we want to migrate people into the office? How do we want to ensure social distancing? I was just trying to find, the governor's got a whole paper written up on offices on suggestions on what to do. And then after we have that, then go on the other two items you talked about, Nick, about opening up the lobby, getting, you know, people, you know, open up to the public. And then, so I guess a long story short, like, I'm not sure if I would say another month, but two more weeks, and then that gives us time to figure out what to do. And my understanding too, Nick, is that the mayor can extend the disaster recovery without a vote from the council.
Correct. Yes, for a period of 7 days. Anything further than 7 days has to go to
council.
Has
to be voted on.
Yeah.
I think on any extensions, it's a vote, Steve.
No, so, I think just the initial declaration the mayor can do without council approval.
Right.
All extensions have to go before council.
Yeah. He can extend for 7 days, yeah, but outside of that, it has to go to council for a vote.
So basically what I hear Steve saying is we want to call for another meeting on May 12th. And if for some reason that we decide that we're going to let it lapse on the 12th, then we don't have to meet. We can just let it lapse. But if we need to extend it again past the 12th, we hold the meeting.
I'm sorry, Rick, do you want to do May 12th or do you want to do May 18th when the governor's going to report again?
I'm fine with May
18th. May 18th would probably make more sense.
Yeah.
So I'll amend my motion to extend it to May 18th.
All that over 7 days. I second.
And just so we understand...
Out.
This will continue working under the same shifts we're working now with the hazardous pay.
Yes.
Until
I don't know.
Until May 18th.
I don't know if I'm out of order here, but what I suggest is that we put together a little bit of a plan on how to get back to work as well. I mean, it's kind of like a reverse operations, but there's other things to think about as well.
You okay with that?
If the city staff have little blunder about it too and figure out what the best way for them.
Well, we've read, I sent out today the governor's sheet that talks about what to do in opening up these office spaces. And you're right, it talks about hand sanitizing stations and the whole thing. We need to digest that a little bit more from a staff perspective. As you know, right now, we're kind of doing it half and half, right? So we have half the staff coming on Monday and the other half coming on Tuesday. Now, your senior staff, your department directors are in almost every day. But the frontline folks and that kind of thing over on our side of the wall are doing that opposite schedule. So, there's no more than usually one person in an office space at a time, typically. But again, the disaster declaration can work separate and apart from any of these other decisions.
Huge pressure.
The biggest, in my opinion, of course, is when do we go ahead and open City Hall back up and allow for that unknown exposure from then on out.
Right, and at that time, we're probably going to have the contingency in place. If once you open it up and someone gets exposed, then what's the plan after that? Send everyone back home. So there's a lot of little things to think about here. So, and we're also going to know, like part of the governor's reopening of the state is, we're going to do 25% and then monitor really closely for test results. And, I think to use his words, we're going to wait. We're going to ensure that we don't have any more flare-ups before we then go to phase three of the opening it up. So I think that's a good idea to put it, whatever he's going to say. He usually does his conference calls at 1 o'clock or video, whatever the updates. So I like the idea of doing a extended disaster recovery. Until then, we get a little more organized on the back to work. We're going to get a little more guidance from the governor on that day, and then we can make a decision if we want to extend or not.
Okay. Okay, just to make this clear, counsel, you're going to have to be very explicit on your thought process here, because I'm sitting here ready to go back. Okay, I've talked with staff; they're ready to go back, and I'm kind of leaning toward letting them. Well, no, I am leaning toward letting them. So now Steve has come up and said, nope, he's not. He doesn't see it as a plan. He sees it as just opening the doors. Rick has come in at halfway with saying, okay, let's go to 12th, and then we've kind of kicked it around to the 18th, where the governor is supposed to, again, wave his magic wand and we'll all feel better. I don't think things are going to change. That's just my personal opinion. I think he's going to open up everything at that time. However, it does give us some cover, and it gives us an additional week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks almost, of protection for our staff. I'm going to say that I think we need to have some allowance in there if people need to come in here and get something done. And be here.
Well, we're doing that now. You know, like, Estella came in one day because the permit clerk couldn't. So Estella came in on one day that was not her scheduled day and worked permits for us. So
what? That's a cover situation.
We can make those adjustments.
And so, no.
Be flexible. You got staff coming in every other day, and the department heads are there, and you know, the departmental heads use their best judgment on someone needs to come in.
Well,
we got an operating city hall. I'm just saying that I think we're premature here. Like with the executive order, its next point should be separated from what we do. And so my suggestion is that we simply extend it to the 18th or the 12th. And
that's the executive order with additional pay expenses. Is that correct, staff? Or is council?
So right now, currently, the essential staff is getting the hazardous pay. So we're going to continue the hazardous pay.
That's my suggestion, yes.
Well.
Okay. So we're going to continue to work the alternate schedules for now, continuing the hazardous pay, and council will reevaluate on May 18th. And City Hall will remain closed to the public. Is that correct?
Rick, did you amend your motion to that?
Is he muted?
I amended it to the 18th.
Yes, he did.
I second that.
Okay.
With all the provisos they're in, and we're closing the City Hall till the 18th.
Here, we're silent
again. Here. I don't know what's up.
It just means we're going to keep City Hall, keep it like it is until the 18th, including keeping City Hall closed.
I mean, yes. For the most part, I would say yes. If a staff member needs to come in for some particular reason,
okay,
I'm okay with that. But I don't think we should be opening to the public yet, simply because that brings in another wild card that might completely shut City Hall down again.
Right.
And it could.
Yep.
All right. So we have a motion. We have a motion to extend the declaration until the 18th after the governor's speech. With everything remaining the same, City Hall being closed, hazardous pay being given to the essential personnel and non-essential personnel working on a rotating schedule.
Correct.
Okay, so that is our motion. Do we have a second?
No, we already have a motion and a second.
Oh, who was the second?
Messner. Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't recognize we had the second.
Yes,
okay, so we've had a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. That's the one I said would take a while.
Okay, I'm going to unmute Scott Jacobson right now.
Okay. That's actually much better than I thought.
I tell you what, I'm in the target zone. So people wander through here while I'm here puts me at risk. I don't like that either. All right. Discussion.
Hmm?
I do. Trust me. Discussion and consideration regarding a possible revision to the amendment of the development agreement between City of Meadows Place, Texas, and Leftgate Property, Inc., DBA, Texas Direct Auto, and Varun. Let me flip over here to all my stuff. And I believe we've got Steve Jacobson with Varun on the line.
Yes.
Yes. Can you all? Can everybody hear me?
I can.
Yes. Yes.
They just can't hear me.
Again, my name is Scott Jacobson. I'm director of real estate and facilities for Varun. I've been working pretty closely with Mayor over the last year since I joined the organization to put the current agreement in place and extend our relationship with the city and work on all the improvements that we're going to be doing to the dog park when all this COVID crisis stuff goes away. But one of the things that we had requested was also a deferral, not a relief or anything like that, but a deferral of the payments that we're making to the city on a monthly basis for the next 90 days, simply because, obviously we have very little business at this point with 25 million people on the unemployment lines or a whole lot of people using discretionary income to buy vehicles. We've spent the last 8 weeks effectively trying to burn off as much of our inventory as we possibly could as the vehicles were depreciating quickly and people stopped buying them. So we were forced to discount our vehicles just to get the inventory out of, off the books and unlock some of that that was in the inventory. And obviously you could tell, and I know there have been some questions because obviously our landlords gave us a call, Mayor and City Administrator and I spoke the other day, and I know there's quite a bit of concern about what happened to all the cars, what happened to all the activity, why aren't any transports moving around the complex as much anymore. We just don't have the vehicles, we don't have the inventory, we don't have the customers. And quite honestly, 2 weeks ago, we furloughed a third of our staff nationwide, and most of that being in Fort Bend County, Texas, between both the reconditioning facility in Meadows Place, as well as the dealership on the other side of the freeway in Stafford, simply because we don't have the vehicles to recondition, we don't have customers coming in the door, I don't have enough, title work, accounting work, obviously, it's just a massive hit to our business. And everyone else in the organization has taken anywhere between a 5% and a 30% pay cut across the board. Those of us that are lucky enough to still be employed, of which I'm very thankful for, we're all working on reduced salaries. double the work, obviously, but that's fine. So all we're asking for, and I've gone to every single one of my landlords, including both of the landlords there in Meadows Place, and we've worked out arrangements to defer rent payments, partial rent payments with almost every single one, every single one of our landlords, every single one of our vendors have worked with us, so that we can try and make it through the next 90 days unscathed and be able to come out on the other side, start doing business, start selling cars, start buying cars again, and quite honestly become profitable at some point. I was listening, the issues that you guys are having related to the $60,000 plus shortfall expected in the sales tax revenue and additional expenses for hazardous duty pay and everything else. And I completely understand that. And again, like I said, we're not asking for relief of the money, just a deferral for 90 days so that we don't have to burn through any more cash than we possibly have to try and hold on as long as we possibly can. The furloughs for our employees, we were able to keep them on the payroll through the end of this week, so they weren't even effective until Saturday. So that was additional bonus that one of the deferrals that we were able to negotiate so far allowed us to keep them on the payroll an extra 2 weeks at full pay, even though we sent them home 2 weeks ago, for all that to occur. So I understand your fiscal issues. We had originally requested a deferral for the 90 days into January to pay that back starting in January of 2021. But obviously we can start repaying that back after the 90 days so that it still stays inside your fiscal budget, if that helps.
So when would that be?
Make it easier. And then we could pay out that $30,000 over the next, you know, between August and the end of the year, just spread it out over the rest of those months to make the city whole, but still give us hopefully the time to survive and be able to make the rest of the payments beyond July of 2020. That's our simple request.
So I have not had the opportunity to speak with you, and so I've got a few questions for you in relation to how Vroom does business. And over the last couple of years, we've had quite a bit of problems with your transports using Dorrance between Kirkwood Road and Bloomington Lane. And we've had no assistance from Vroom on keeping them off the residential side of the street.
Sure. With all due respect, as far as I know, I've been with the organization for a little over a year now. And since I've been there, I know there have been a couple of instances of some of the transports doing that. But as far as I know, at least 99.9% of the problem has been resolved from our transports. Now, I know there are other transports that come through for other vendors and the other dealerships around. But I know for a fact I haven't yet to see a transport make a left and go through the neighborhood out of that parking lot in the last year period. And I know our security guards don't allow them to make that left. I'm sure a couple of them do it. You know, some of the drivers that may not be familiar with our patterns and our requirements coming to the property for the first time may go off of Kirkwood and turn right onto Dorrance and come through the neighborhood, but it's very rare and very few and far between if it's happening at all anymore. And we work with, you know, we talk with the police department. They talk with our security officers as well if there are issues too. So we try and help if it comes up. Usually there's communication. We get it addressed pretty quick with that transport company.
I also get frequent complaints about your transports unloading on the street. And not so much when there's one, but when there's two that park across from each other, it becomes a serious problem. What can you do to remedy that?
Honestly, part of that issue came up when we were not allowed to use the alley anymore, because they were doing part of it there. We've been working with our transport companies to not do that. I'm also looking for a different facility if I can find one, if we can afford it now. I mean, now with everything else changing, it's a little different. We're looking for another facility to turn it into an outbound shipping facility, which means we wouldn't have any vehicles loading there at all anymore. It would simply be they'd be dropping off inside the fence line and loading somewhere completely different.
But why?
What you're seeing out there on Dorrance more than anything else is loading than unloading.
Yeah, so why wouldn't it be designated that they have to face, pick a direction, it doesn't matter to me, but they're always facing the one direction so that they're not on both sides of the road?
Honestly, they just pull up there and do it. We can work with them to try and stop that. That's certainly something that we can work on. And again, like I said, our goal is to actually have that whole function move completely off property.
I will yield to the rest of council.
This is Steve Besner. Thanks for joining the call. Scott writes. So I think what you're hearing, Scott, is a little bit of frustration that's kind of boiled over into a different conversation. You know, the relationship with Texas Direct Auto was fairly healthy. And since Vroom has taken it over, the relationship has soured, and you're kind of getting the butt of this, being with the company for a year and seeing kind of where we're at. So I hope you can appreciate where you're getting some of these questions. This is not an automatic deferral.
I do. I understand.
What my question is a little more around the amounts. I'm in the real estate business, and I know that landlords are getting pounded by rent reliefs, and the banks are doing some interesting things around lending, zero interest notes, during this time. And, there's relief coming. I'm hearing anything from, 40 to 60% and those types of things. My concern is why the 100% relief in terms of how did you arrive at that? And, since you're coming, for some relief, my question is, it's always easier if you're writing a check, at least that you have that continuity, both from a city side and from a business side, that there's a liability there, and it's easier to continue that liability, increasing the amounts, than it is to restart it, in my view. But I'm kind of curious about the workout plan that, you said 90 days. I see the parking lot is really deplenished over the past couple weeks. I've done quite a bit of research, and I know that, you guys aren't a public company. So, are you guys having liquidity problems? Or are you having, is this a short term, you're going to turn it around and start replenishing inventory? How are you viewing this as, some kind of, good faith that, okay, if you were to get some sort of deferral that we can then continue, and somehow, repair and improve the relationship between.
Right. Yeah. And I certainly appreciate that, the fact that I'm kind of, that I understand that this is some frustrations from some stuff that's happened in the past. And I've really worked with Mayor Jessup over the last year to try and improve that. And, that's one of the reasons we put the agreement and the extension in place and the requirements and the commitments that we made to the city throughout all this. As far as our goal, honestly, we asked every single one of our landlords for the exact same thing. We asked some of our vendors for the exact same thing we came to the city for. It is simply, honestly, a cash conservation mode as much as we possibly can. As you said, we're not a public held company. I can't just go out and sell stock to raise cash. I am completely reliant upon our investors. And every single penny that we don't have to spend now is a penny that we can hold on to. And when things start to look like we're going to start to come out of this, we'll start buying cars again and start listing them and reconditioning them, replenishing our inventory. But we don't want to take one step of doing that until we are sure that we think we're going to start coming out on the other side. And just to give you an idea, we bought about 60 cars last week. It's the first time we purchased cars in almost 8 weeks. So, we're looking for small opportunities now to keep some inventory because we do have traffic and we are making some sales, even though it's dropped off dramatically. We are still trying to keep enough inventory to keep enough people coming to our website and a few people coming into the dealership to keep our name out there so that as things start to warm up and heat up, wherever they are in the United States, we can flip the switch and be ready to rock and roll as quick as possible.
That's how much, and if you can, can you give us an indication or at least directionally how much runway you have in terms of
runway?
How much runway? How long, is this a 6 month? If this was to last for 6 months, do you have a liquidity problem in 6 months where you're out of money? Or is this a any kind of direction you can give us? Is this a 3 month? You got 3 months worth of runway, or you got 6 months worth of runway?
Honestly, it depends on how fast we sell the inventory, what the burn rate is of the cash that we have in the bank. I don't have that answer. I honestly don't have that answer. We are planning on everything that we've negotiated, all the deferrals and stuff that we've negotiated for the next 90 days, we plan and are 100% committed to starting them back up. And, you know, some of them aren't necessarily 100% deferrals. We couldn't work that out with all of our landlords. They asked us to at least cover some minimal expenses or something along the way. So, you know, I've got everything from 90 days, 100% deferral to as much as 50%, on some of the payments. And literally, I'm obviously hoping that before the 90 days is up, we've got cars in inventory, we're starting to sell, and we're bringing back some of our furloughed employees. That's our goal. That's our mission. That's what we're attempting to do. And any penny that we can save now is a penny that we can have to pull out of this in the future.
And you said in your opening statements that most of the furloughs, so it sounds like most of the costs are being taken out of this location. Why this location and not others? Or is this one, is this a problem? Go ahead.
No, honestly, since we don't have cars to recondition, I don't need a staff to recondition cars. It's literally, since I don't have the vehicles to recondition, I don't have the vehicles to sell, it's mostly the staff related to the physical work that's done on the vehicles, the physical work that's done in the selling of the cars, both from, you know, the dealership perspective and also the back of the house paperwork perspective.
Right, and your other facilities aren't in this, but don't have this business model where they buy used cars and fix them up and
Oh, I've got every single one of my purchase facilities around the entire state are shut down. We had to close them all. I've got 11 retail locations around the entire city of Houston, from Clear Lake to the Woodlands, Baytown to Katy, that I'm paying rent on. I mean, obviously, I've got some deferrals, some I've got, you know, still paying rent on, that are 100% closed and have been for the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks.
Right. And is this a... Now, does Vroom operate only in the greater Houston area? It's my understanding that Vroom purchased TDA. And,
correct.
But is this different, this business model of used cars and the locations in Houston, is this different from your other businesses in the car business? Are they more retail or wholesale or whatever that is? I'm just trying to understand.
We only have one business model. We sell the vehicles online or through the dealership there in Stafford. That is our business model. We purchase vehicles from anywhere, anyone. If you sell one online in Wisconsin, you can sell it to us. We'll pick it up and it's ours. We have in the Houston, greater Houston area, some of the Sell Us Your Car centers where people can come in and sell their cars, drop it off, and then we'll have someone pick it up and bring it over for reconditioning. And all of those facilities are shut, but we only have the one retail dealership across the street and the one reconditioning facility.
I didn't understand that. So correct. this is the only retail outlet you have or the only market you serve in, that Vroom serves from a retail perspective.
Correct. Everything, we serve the rest of the country online. That's correct.
Okay. I don't have any, I don't know how we're operating that. Our guild, and I'm sure other people have questions. Thank you for your time and thanks for the information.
No problem.
All right. Council, anybody else got any questions for Scott? Nick, you got any comments, anything?
No, sir.
All right. So here it comes. We're trying to get this thing plugged in before Courtney's computer craters. The question is, will she make it? She's running. She's got it. Okay. Council, here's the deal. Scott has asked us for a delay on the belt redoing of the bog.
Dropped out again.
Can't hear you, Charlie.
There you go.
Charlie, where'd you go? We can't hear you.
And that concludes my thoughts on that.
No, bad move.
So Scott is coming to us, and this is a discussion between the revision to the possible revision of the amendment. And what they're doing, they're asking us for an additional 90 days on the dog park, and I had this all figured out. If I knew where in the heck I was, And also,
I think he's saying August 1st.
Yeah, something else, a delay, which takes us down. Now I can't find my notes. I'm sorry, I had to move.
Mayor, if I may, it was the dog. It was the delay doing the work on the dog park until this is over. It was also the restriping of the alleyway for the fire lanes and things like that.
They were tied back. They were tied to dates. And then we're down to the final. The third request is a deferral on the $10,000 monthly payments of May 1st through July 1st or July 31st. Okay.
And I think just said they would make
that are going to be restated later on, right?
Correct. Now,
so he's we need up. To clarify. I think he just said he would start paying them in August.
Okay, so.
What are the terms of the deferral? Like, when does that get paid back? I heard our fiscal year is over in October, but did I hear, Scott, you said that you're good with by October 1st or something? You threw out a date, so I better not throw out a date.
Oh, I didn't realize that your fiscal year ran to October. I thought it was a calendar year.
No.
Nope.
If it has to be in the same fiscal year, we can start repaying it back in installments in August so we can pay it back. Oh, wait, your fiscal year ends October 1st or October 31st?
September 30th.
I don't know.
End of September.
30th. September 30th.
End of September. Okay, then if it had to be in the same fiscal period, we could pay it back in August and September. That's a lot quicker and a lot harder to do. But if that's what it has to be, that's what it has to be. It would give us at least the 90 days.
I think that's acceptable.
Yeah. Do you need a motion on this?
Yes, we will. And now this, you got to remember, this is to amend their special use permit. Now, does council, if this isn't done, whatever comes up to pass, whatever we agree in, if that doesn't come, that means we revoke their special use permit and we kick them out. Is everybody aware of that? Scott had to say that.
So this would take them to July.
Absolutely, sir. We're going to make the payments. I mean, obviously, if we stay in business, we'll definitely make the payments. That's never going to be an issue.
Well, that's a big caveat if we're still in business.
God willing, I'm literally knocking on a piece of wood. God willing, we'll be in business. We're planning on being in business. We think we've got the runway to stay that long.
Okay.
I'm not foreseeing an issue like that unless something dramatic happens and we're literally in the whole country.
Council, here's what you're going to hit. You're going to catch heat on the dog park. Okay. Scott, we're going to need some help on that dog park. We can't have it going out there looking raggedy. We can't have 2-foot weeds and junk in there. We just can't have it. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And so
I agreed that we would take care of it.
And so we got to change that. We need for you to pick up and redress the Dorrance gardens and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we as council are catching flack directly on those, okay?
I haven't stopped the landscaping services on that. We're definitely maintaining that, and we will.
Well, they're not. We may disagree on whether they're being maintained or not. You and I can take a walk out there, and I can show you a couple areas which are definitely not being well looked after, well manicured as they were. And that goes back to Rick's point earlier of they're just not being maintained at the same level. And
I'll get it corrected.
Okay. So, council, here's the deal. They have, we've just heard that they're going to have us all paid back up by September 30th. So, we are deferring the payments until August 1st. Is that correct?
Yes, and then they're going to play catch up until the end of September.
Okay. Does everybody understand that? So the motion would be.
I have it right here.
Okay, the motion would be we move to accept the request of Vroom to extend the current amendment 90 days and defer the monthly $10,000 tax offset payment to August 1st, 2020, to be paid in full by September 30th, 2020.
Yes.
Alderman, who made the motion?
Nobody.
Yet. Nobody. Oh, we don't have it. Does anybody make a motion for that?
So I move that. So the one thing. Okay, I'll move for that, and then I'll wait see if there's a second, and then we can discuss it some more.
Yes. Is there a second?
We'll second that.
Second.
Who seconded that?
I heard Kurt.
Okay, Kurt.
Did. Yes.
Okay, Kurt Kopchinski seconded the motion. Now we come to the part, is there any discussion?
So the reason I support this is because, one, it falls within our fiscal year. Two, it does have some teeth that if Vroom does not live up to this, their part of the bargain, we do have the right to pull their special use permit on October 1st if they don't pay. And it gives us some runway to understand what is the long-term, is Vroom going to be a long-term partner with us or not? Because I heard there's some things that have, and I've been by the dog park myself. I see it every day. I try not to look at it. It's overgrown right now. And I can appreciate the fact that we're in extraordinary circumstances. And, there's a lot of priorities, just keeping a business running and keeping the lights on. So I think this is a good faith movement on our part to defer the payments with the expectation that we're going to be made whole by the end of our fiscal year. It gives Vroom an opportunity to show that they're going to be a good partner and keep up with the dog part and the other stipulations that they put into place in their original agreement over the next coming months. And like this is kind of a go, no go. By October 1st, we're going to know if Vroom is really wants to be a good neighbor, or then we'll have to take other actions. And so I actually think this is a good deal.
We're going to end up having to sue the snot out of them. Okay, so we have a motion, a second, and some discussion.
I have one more question.
Yes.
What does this put the completion date at for the dog park renovations?
August 1st.
What August is this, 1st. May, June, July?
August 1st.
Not 90 days, right?
Be 90 days from when?
From April 30th, yeah. August 1st.
Does that be August 1st?
My birthday. I'll hold you to it.
Happy birthday.
Scott, you're getting ready to tie to August 1st. Can you make that?
August 1st for the dog park?
Yes.
For the dog park and the fire lane
striping. That's what it is.
Okay.
That's August 1st for the dog park and the fire lane.
Now, I will tell you, that's a $70,000 expense in the middle of all this.
It is.
So you're giving me a $30,000 deferral, but I have to spend $70,000 in that same time frame.
To fix the dog park?
What was your original request?
He requested a 90-day extension.
It was a deferral in the tax payments.
I
thought we were only talking about the tax payments in this. I thought we were getting like 60 extra days to complete the dog park and stuff. But August 1st, if that's the date, that's the date.
He asked for 90.
Yes.
But that 90 is, August 1st is 90 days.
I can't hear you, Courtney.
Okay.
I'm just saying the email that I saw from Scott asked for a 90-day extension of the dog park, a 90-day extension for the completing of the striping and painting of the fire lane. Our current agreement gave them 120 days, which would have been April 30th. So a 90-day extension would be through August 1st or July 31st.
Okay. That's what our request was.
Yes.
And now we're matching your 90-day extension on top of the 120. Okay.
Correct. That's exactly what we requested. So if August 1st, then it's August 1st.
Okay. All right. So there it is. All right, so we have a motion. We have the date set. We have any further discussion?
Basically, everything has to be done by August 1st.
Okay, hearing no further discussion, I'll ask the question. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, we have...
So the reason I'm voting against this is because of past actions by Vroom. I'm hoping that we see a new cooperation from Scott and Vroom going forward based on the action of council.
Okay, Scott? You still with us? Okay.
Yes, sir.
We're getting ready to conclude this vote, but I want to make sure that you heard Alderman Stegley. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, everything's riding on you, buddy. Okay, all in favor was aye, one nay. This motion carries. Scott, congratulations. We'll get together next week and talk about what I'm looking at over here on the side and what our expectations are. And you can come meet Nick Habey, our new city administrator.
Sounds good. Thank you all very much. I appreciate your I appreciate your partnership and help, and hope you all stay safe and well.
Thanks. We appreciate it. Hey, and we wish you the best.
Thank you all very much.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
Have a good evening.
Good evening.
Let's make sure we paper this somehow.
We what?
Contract or something. Yeah, we paper it.
Document it.
Put it in amend the contract. Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. We will. We'll get with our legal team. Okay. We'll get with our legal counsel to make the correct amendments and send something over to Vroom.
We need to get a lazy Susan if we're going to do this very often.
I don't know. It worked at the beginning of the meeting.
I know. I don't know what
That's
happened.
Okay.
That moves us on to item 10. I think this is Steve Besner's favorite item. Discussion and consideration of approving CenterPoint Energy 2020 annual gas reliability infrastructure or GRIP program adjustment with a rate increase. Council, we can either approve it, we can decline it, or take no action, or we can decline accepting it, which means we just sit on our hands until the Public Utility Commission increases it.
I vote to sit on our hands.
Okay, that's decline to accept by John Isbell.
Second.
Who is that?
Second by Mr. Besner.
Steve.
Quickly.
Thank you.
I was hoping it would die from lack of emotion, but John's reverse motion is just as good.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries unanimously, and I need to get my god dang agenda sheet back.
Here you go.
He's got all his notes.
That's our only way of saying no.
Yes, that's exactly right. Okay.
That's our only way of fussing at that.
Okay. Item number 11. Yeah, that's exactly right, John. That's exactly what it is. Discussion and consideration of Resolution 2020-23 allowing the mayor and city secretary to declare surplus equipment and authorizing the sale or disposal thereof. Did you send them a list? Mm-hmm. You have
so
council has a list of a motion.
Second.
So moved. Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
I told you so.
Item 12, discussion and consideration regarding the annual 4th of July parade and event. We have, I believe Colleen is still with us. Is the chief here?
Chief and Colleen are both still
here. Wow, been waiting a long time.
Yes, they have.
Brave souls. We should have moved this up front.
Okay, Chief and Colleen have both been unmuted.
Okay, the Chief and Colleen have supposedly have been unmuted. Chief, are you there?
I am here.
Colleen, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, it's my understanding, Council, that y'all have some options, or that Colleen's going to read some options to you. So, Colleen, we're going to throw this over into your court.
Yes,
bring
sir.
Us up to date.
Okay, so in light of where we are right now with state and county requirements in regards to COVID, we still have uncertainties moving forward with our summer programs and summer events. However, we still have to plan and prepare as if we were moving forward. So with that being said, we do have a couple of options. The first option in regards to 4th of July would be to have no event, to cancel our current parade and offer no event at all on that day. The pros to that is that it's a cost savings for the city of $11,000 between the Parks Department and Police Department. Another pro is that it's COVID safe. A con to having no event would be, of course, that there's no celebration, something that our community is used to. But in this event, this unusual year, these unusual circumstances, we would vow to have no event. That's option number one. Option number two is we have our original parade, as we always have in the past. The pros are it is within our budget. It is an annual event. We have community involvement, and we have elected official involvement. The cons to having the parade this year is that there's a significant possibility for lack of participation since the community organizations have not met since last summer and or this past December. Additionally, city staff participation will be stressed due to focusing on a late start of summer events if the COVID restrictions have been lifted. So having the original parade, the total cost would be $11,000, and that's Parks and Police Department. The third option is having an evening concert, no parade, but providing an evening concert in the park. The pros to that is that it would be within the budget. It's a cooler time of the day. It's quality entertainment. We'll have food and beer available. We will have an area to honor all of our senior graduates that were shortened and did not have that opportunity to do that at their completion of their senior year. We can do that at the event, high school and college graduates.
And this is Meadows Place students, right?
This is correct. Yes, sir. Our Meadows Place students. We would also have the opportunity to recognize first responders. We would maximize our community involvement. We would enlist elected officials' involvement, and we would provide opportunities for clubs to fundraise through food sales and beer sales. The cons to this, obviously, is that in lieu of having a parade, this would be a transition from what we've originally done in the past. The total cost for an evening concert between Parks and PD would be $3,500. Additionally, we can provide an 8-minute fireworks show. The pros to that is that it is within budget. It would be a cooler time of the day. Again, when I mention cooler time of the day, this is at 7:30 at night till 9:30. It would be quality entertainment, and it would be exciting. The cons to this is that it is loud. The total cost to manage and maintain that would be between Parks and PD, $5,500. So my suggestion, Council, at this point would be that we move forward with the concert and the fireworks with recognition of our first responders and our graduates. We would invite mayor, council, county, and state officials to participate with a total cost with fireworks and concert of $9,000. That's a $2,000 savings between Parks and PD by eliminating the parade, but instead offering a concert and fireworks. There is a caveat. If the weather turns bad and we're not able to provide the concert and the fireworks, both of those, as long as we utilize them by June of 2021, we will still keep those events and not lose out on the cost of them.
Colleen, what day were you planning on doing the concert? On the 4th or the 3rd?
Actually, on July 4th. That's a Saturday this year.
I think we're going to be vying for a lot of competition if you do it on the 4th. What if you did it on the 3rd?
If you're speaking of competition with people coming to the event or being able to occupy vendors, the vendors have already committed as far as their availability. fireworks, I already have a quote, and then also the emotions are available on the 4th as well. I don't ever look at our city as being in competition with other cities because we are so unique. If we have an event in our city, our residents typically choose to come to our event because it is their city and it's so close to home. They don't have to fight traffic, they don't have to fight seating, and they don't have to pay a entry fee. So from my perspective, we would hold it actually on July 4th.
I would like to make a little bit of comment on that is because I don't know what the actual costs are until I see the footprint of what we're doing so that I know how to allocate personnel and other things. So I don't want it to be misconstrued as what the cost is actually going to be for PD.
And that's fair. And actually, Chief Stewart had given me his total cost for the parade, which was $4,500. And that covers various things from staffing to hydration to throwouts and those types of things. And so what I did basically was an approximation of $500 for his staff to come in to help manage a concert and or fireworks. And that number could go up or down depending upon Chief's real numbers.
Yeah, so the overtime rate is $3,259. So I'm not, I probably wouldn't use all that staff, but it would still be a high cost. It'd be more than $500.
Okay. Well, then that number could adjust. Again, in regards to the concert and the fireworks, we were still showing a savings of $2,000. So even if it went up an additional $2,000, then at that point we would be flat even with either a parade or a concert and fireworks.
So I have a comment.
So the other time is the runtime of the vehicles. I just want to bring all this in because we do have to have vehicles, and I have a spreadsheet that I sent to the city administrator as well of what that costs just on runtime and prep and everything that we do. I'm not sure
had this conversation 6 hours ago.
Where the numbers lie. I'd like to reconfigure those and present those to you all at a later date.
Okay.
So here's my, if you're looking for feedback, I mean, we're having this discussion because of COVID, specifically, and that's the whole reason this has come up. And at the beginning of this meeting, you know, we went through the financials, and at least there did not seem to be an alarm that we need to go cut services anywhere. One of the cons I see, which wasn't mentioned around the concert in the park, I love the idea, but it's not COVID friendly. In fact, I would say it's the most COVID unfriendly around of all the options, a gathering in the park. And so, you know, just for those reasons alone, you know, I would think it would be unwise for us to start planning a concert in July, not knowing, you know, it's going to be May 24th before we get further guidance from the governor. And part of that guidance is for additional flare-ups. You know, I was actually thinking that I like the idea of having a 4th of July parade. It's, you can do it. It's probably the most, except for doing nothing, which I don't favor, it's probably the most COVID friendly if you cut out whatever event is held at the end of the parade. So I kind of look at this as like, that's like, I love the idea of fireworks. I love the idea of a concert. Not sure if it's this is the year that we should be changing this up, especially with some of the unknowns. The costs aren't totally nailed down, and kind of my view is that we should do, let's just do our parade.
Either way, we'll okay, let you drive the Hummer, Steve.
Yeah, that's right. And I get to drive the Hummer. I bet you I could talk Chief Stewart and let me drive the Hummer to a concert, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think the point Steve brings up is a good one. I'm not so sure I agree in completely with what's more COVID friendly. I can go out the park, I can stay 6 foot away from somebody. And if I'm sitting there and they start to sit down, I'll sit down there and poke them with my 6 foot stick. If I'm lined up, people line up right next to each other on that parade route and they gather in yards, and some of them will have 30, 40 people in the front yard. Steve, I'm concerned with that. You know, we've got some over here, like the Muellers, they'll have 70-something people in their front yard, mm-hmm. and they're elbow-to-elbow house, yard, and back seat. So I don't know.
And that's where the libertarian in me comes out and says, it's your responsibility. We're not holding an event that you're going to have to be close together. The parade is going to go by you. So our recommendation is that there's plenty of street that to spread out. And maybe even needs to be extended. You know, if there's no event at the end, that you go down, you know, a couple more streets to make sure that there's plenty of room for people to spread out. Because I do know that over there at the school, there's probably problems with construction. People do get really close together over there, and so maybe we extend the route or something. But we're putting the onus on the responsibility of keeping healthy and safe under our citizens, and we're not creating a COVID unfriendly environment because you have the opportunity to participate in the parade without having, while maintaining social distancing.
Well spoken. However, I'm looking at it a little different, Council, just to let you know. I think people are looking for a reason to come together as a community again. And I will say that if we're sitting there in the middle of a flare up, it's easy to just say, no, we're not doing it. And I'm prepared for one to make that call. I'm excited about the possibility of fireworks, but I'm also a traditionalist on the parade. So I'd like to hear some other feedback from council.
I'll throw in feedback. I think the parade's a good idea. We're not saving that much money by having a concert and fireworks, $2,000 really. People are used to the parade here. And I agree with Steve, if we lengthen the route and
don't need to be lengthening that
route. They should be distant, you know. But then again, we're talking about something that's going to happen 3 months from now. Okay, so who knows what that landscape's going to look like. So, you know, you could always call it off the day before, like if it rains or something. And then I guess we just bank the 11 grand, huh?
Yes.
That's my thoughts.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah. I was absolutely pro-parade until Colleen mentioned fireworks. Because that is the thing that I hear the most request for every year. Every time around 4th of July, I get that, you know, why can't the city have fireworks? It'd be amazing. Meadows Place families, we all go together to other shows. This year it was Stafford. There was at least, I don't know, 20 families from Meadows Place out there. So I like the idea. It's kind of a celebration too. Hey, we're hopefully done with COVID. And if we're not, absolutely, you know, cancel. But I like that. The families love it. The thing I don't want to do is say, you know, that went so well, let's just cancel the parade in the future. Because all over, wherever I am in Houston area, talking about Meadows Place, they bring up the parade. People know our parade. They went to it when they were little or 20 years ago. So I don't want to lose sight of that if we do end up doing the concert.
Kurt, I'd like to throw in that I had a long talk with Colleen about that, and that was my concern as well, is will we change the direction of Meadows Place in the future? If people want to have fireworks instead of a parade, that's great. But I think we can hold that through some sort of a Survey Monkey or town hall sometime in the future. It doesn't have to be this year. I do think this year is special, and I think you can premise that, and I'm looking for everybody's feedback there. I think you can premise it by saying, hey, this is a different year. We want to bring out and celebrate the fact that we made it through and that we are able to sit down there and celebrate, to be around, be joyful inside of our city. And if people don't want to get within 6 feet of another, I'm going to go to that old libertarian card and say, don't get 6 feet to me, and we'll be happy. But they can bring their own chairs and sit out there and watch it. But it's a special deal. I think we've got something that we can do. I think the idea of possibly recognizing the high school seniors in particular, and having them walk across the stage and recognize them and having somebody call their name out would be a good thing. But I don't think we have to say immediately that we're going to lose the parade forever. I think everybody, you'd have to go into the understanding with this is a one-time special event, because we have done that before, and we've had fireworks, and it was a, quote, special event and a special occasion. So I think if people understand that, then they know we're going to have, going to go back into the parade next year. What do you think?
My only caveat to that, I just want to make sure that everybody's aware that, you know, with personnel and overtime and stuff, and still not closing down the streets, it's just having personnel there, the runtime and everything else, that there's no way I can do it at a $500 cost.
We got it.
But if there's some money left over, that's fine, but I need to see the footprint and see what we're talking about.
Want to get some numbers together and talk about it at the next council meeting?
No.
We can do that for sure.
I think we're going to have one, a meeting on what, the 18th?
May 18th.
Let me ask you, Colleen, have we got till the May 18th to make a decision?
I don't know, Mayor. I think that it's possible to hold the firework date, but I have a feeling that we would not be able to hold the band date.
Gotcha.
But we could get some numbers. Chief and I could work on them. It depends on what his schedule would allow, how soon we could get back and maybe just present them to council through email, and then have some discussion that way, or however you choose.
We can't have discussion over
Chief. I know he's got an extremely busy schedule right now.
We can't have discussion with council over email. That
we can send figures out, but we can't get response back.
I mean, we can call a special meeting if they want to call a special meeting to review this, but we can't have discussion over email.
Because we're under declaration, we can do anything we want.
Okay. However y'all would like to facilitate that, but Chief, that's up to you, how long that would take for you to get something together.
I think once I see the footprint of what you want to do and the number of expected people to attend, I can put something together. I can put together a plan. Okay. We'll be able to cut some costs, but I don't think we can cut as much as you anticipate.
Chief, let me interrupt.
Even if it's $1,100, it's $1,100, but I can't tell you until I actually see what the footprint of this looks like.
Okay, Chief, let me interrupt.
Can Rick Stegley or Kelly, do you have an opinion on this? I'm curious.
I'm here still. I didn't go to sleep yet. Could we do the parade later in the day and have it go into the park setting and then do the fireworks afterwards?
Although that's a great idea, Kelly, the expense would be greatly increased and the staff personnel would be exhausted to be able to handle a lengthy and such a large event like that.
It's too damn hot. And it's too
hot.
Sounds
good.
And then I tend to just say go with the parade because people can spread out. Usually there's big groups in one spot, and then there's whole sections that don't have anybody. Yeah. People can get spread out on that parade route.
I agree.
They chose to do so. And then, you know, we don't know if it's going to rain that day. And so that could whole thing could get washed out. It's happened before.
Once.
No pun intended, right?
Okay, so here's what, just to sum up, we've got three council members that want the parade. Is that a fact?
Yes.
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 Okay. Well, I
think
can count.
You've got four.
I can count to three. Colleen, we're going to have a parade.
Okay.
I really love all the effort you put into this. I thought you were very creative. I'm going to expect you to use your creativity to somehow or another honor those seniors some way or another. And then maybe include the fire and EMS is just recognizing the efforts of our first responders as part of that.
Absolutely.
Okay, Council, does that wrap that up as far as anybody here is concerned?
Wraps it up for me.
All right. So we have made a discussion by doing nothing. So, man, that was a great decision. Sometimes that's the only way.
This is as usual.
Colleen, I appreciate all your effort, Chief.
Well, thank you, Council and Mayor, for listening to the options. I think, Mayor, you stated it best earlier this evening, is that no decision is a bad decision because we either get a parade or we get a different type of an event. So either way, I feel like the community wins, and that's what we're all about. So again, thank you for listening and for everyone's input. And we will just stay flexible through the process because again, we don't know what we'll be facing come July 4th. But at this point, we are planning for a parade.
That sounds like a winner. Kurt, you and I will have to figure out what we tell everybody on the fireworks. Again, Colleen,
well,
thank you.
Here's what we could do. Can we figure out something for fireworks next year? I like the idea of fireworks.
Yeah, I do too. I mean,
y'all talk about that next year.
For next year too.
I'm not talking about any fireworks ever again. okay. We're moving on. Chief, thank you so much. I want to sit down and visit with you on this tomorrow, but we'll figure out when. Thanks a bunch again.
Sounds good.
Chief Colleen, thank you so much. Y'all can hang up on us if you want. Item number 13, discussion and setting a date for council budget retreat. Did you have some dates for that?
Well, in the years past, we've met for this council retreat in June. So we're just looking to see what dates council has available and get our first council budget retreat set.
And at that meeting, we'll kick over some figures and process, but also we will set the date when each department head will come in and speak and meet with council. That's part of that meeting.
Okay, because I've only got two dates in June right now on Saturdays.
What are those?
13th and 20th.
13th is better for me.
Okay, June 13th is number one. Anybody else? Can everybody make June 13th? Courtney, can you make it?
I have no travel planned right now, so I'm free any day.
Okay. Well, book that day.
Technically, I'm scheduled for a vacation June 6th to the 13th, but it's still up in the air until we know what's going on with COVID.
We really need Rick there.
So we really need you there, Rick. Can we book you?
Or how is the 20th?
That sounds like a yes to me.
How is the 20th for everybody? Is the 20th better for council?
Well, hey, Rick, we have experience now. You can just do a Zoom meeting. We just do a Zoom meeting from wherever you are on vacation.
Yeah.
Well, is June 20th better for everybody?
13th looks good for me if you're not superstitious.
Either or for me.
Well, Rick is saying he may not be here on the 20th. I mean, on the 13th. So what about the 20th?
Good.
Yep.
Rick?
Yeah, I'm good on the 20th if you want to do that.
20th is good for me.
Okay. Time.
Sorry, Rick. We can't get you out of your vacation.
So Doug got it.
Yeah, okay. So, Nick, 20th?
What's that?
Courtney?
Mm-hmm.
20th? Okay. So, we are locked in on June 20th. That is a Saturday. Chief, if you're still here, we're going to claim the EOC.
I don't think he's still here.
Okay, if not, we're claiming the EOC. Start times. Kelly, noon will not be our start time. Okay. Guys, y'all shooting
8:30?
8:30, okay?
Oh, 800.
8 o'clock is good for me. 7:30 for donuts.
Yep.
8 o'clock?
I'm good with
that. Can I get a key and spend the night there the night before?
Sure you can.
Can I get someone to send me a text message at 7:45 again?
Yes, I will. Okay, so 8 o'clock in the morning.
Sounds good.
Okay, perfect. We will have Charlie's Tacos, breakfast and donuts to keep us going. Okay?
And lunch if needed.
And lunch if needed. It'll be a takeout to go like pizza deal. All right, hopefully we're shutting it down. Well, that's a long day.
Last year we went till 3.
Yeah, we're
going to
be.
Mayor, are we going to discuss the whole budget process this year?
That's what we'll do at the budget retreat. That's
what we do at the budget retreat.
Okay. Well, that's just the retreat in June. Okay. And then we'll start our budget meetings at sometime in July.
Correct. That's part of the process is to set those dates.
Okay. All right. I'm good. I got a lot to say on the process, but I'll wait for the retreat.
So you got a lot to say. Would you like to send us some information ahead of time? Or do you just want to sneak up on us?
I think his is regarding how we meet with Scott.
No, it's just for the retreat. The retreat is about planning the budgeting process.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's talking about how we meet with
Scott. Very good.
Won't be that much.
All right.
I gave Nick a download of it. Maybe he can repeat it.
Okay. That sounds good. All right. Well, listen, that sounds good. And we're done with item number 13 because the date has been set. Moving on to the consent agenda. This is where somebody makes a motion to pass the consent agenda. Okay, we had a motion. Motion John. By John, second by.
No, it was Rick who made the motion.
Motion by
Steve
Rick.
Second.
Okay, Steve.
Who's
second?
The second? Okay.
Rick and Steve.
Okay, very good. All in favor? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Okay, that takes us off to item F, audience comments. Hearing none. item G, a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Okay.
Oh, wait, you're my motion, Steve. Who's my second?
Charlie can't make a motion.
I said I need a motion.
I knew that confused the hell out of everyone. I moved.
Okay, motion by Steve.
Second.
Second by Kelly. Thank you, Kelly. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, anybody opposed or want to discuss this further? Let's go home.
All right. Good night.
Meeting is adjourned.